We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Nova Lorraine is a celebrated author, fashion aficionado, futurist, passionate globetrotter, and chief metaverse officer. Additionally, Nova is a highly inspirational personality and force in the domains of Web3 and AI due to her diverse accomplishments and making the shift from psychology to becoming a renowned podcaster and business owner. Nova has earned recognition as one of the top 100 influential women shaping the future. And today on The Spark, we welcome Nova, and we'll be discussing her recent achievements, reflections from her worldwide travels, and how she incorporates AI into her everyday life. Hello, Nova. Thank you for joining us today.
Hello. So grateful to be here.
Yes. So let's start off with discussing your book, Unleash Your Supernova, 101 Action Steps to Boost Creativity and Beat Burnout. So this is going to be a real general question here. How do you beat burnout?
Oh, okay. I'm going to give you a real general answer. I say buffer yourself, and you can use different elements to do that. Mm-hmm. And I shape it in the space of mindfulness.
Oh.
And most of us don't think about the environment we're in on a daily basis. Where do you spend the most time? And look around that environment. And do you have elements in that environment that make you smile? Make you happy, make you giggle, make you laugh. And if you don't, that is an easy thing to do to keep your energy high when you're running low. Because when I think of burnout, I think of it like gas in a gas tank, and you're on that quarter tank and you don't even know you're running out of gas until it's like blinking red.
Yeah.
And by then it's like put. I don't even want to get up today. So how do you avoid getting to the quarter tank, right? Mm. I don't know, like, you know, parents will say, keep your tank at least half full, right?
Yeah.
So how do you get to that quarter tank? And that's a really simple way of doing that. And then also, I would say, check in on a frequent basis in terms of your why. Mm. So a lot of us fall into our jobs, our roles, our relationships, where we live, even our diets. Why are we eating what we're eating? Why are we living in this house? Mm-hmm. Why did we choose to take that job or that promotion? And does it truly feed our soul?
Mm.
And if the answer doesn't feel good, whatever the answer is, mom really wanted me to do this or whatever it is, if it doesn't feel good, then look at pivoting. Mm. And I challenge individuals to take the question three layers deep. Because a lot of things we bury, and so surfacely you're like, oh, it's great for me. And then you're like, well, why is it great for me? Because I get a lot of pats on the back. Well, why do you need a lot of pats on the back? Oh, because I was bullied when I was a kid. So you're able to get to the root of the issue when you take it at least three layers deep in terms of looking at your why.
Oh.
So I say just add a few elements into your environment to keep your mood up. And it could be from the kitchen to the living room to the bedroom to the office, not to take that for granted. And an easy way of doing that is look at your five senses. Do you have things in your environment that activate all five senses?
Oh, wow.
And then the other piece is just check in on a regular basis. Is it monthly? Is it quarterly? Every year? And look at the different components in your life. And really get to the why of those things.
Mm. And when you say check in, are you checking in with yourself? Are you checking in with a best friend? Are you checking in with a spouse? Who are you checking in with?
That's an excellent question.
Thank you.
I hadn't thought about that before. Because when I wrote about it, it was check in with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I love having that point of accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's someone that you truly trust being vulnerable with, yeah, do a check-in with someone else that you feel comfortable with. But if not, it could just be your journal that you have, a physical journal or your notepad on your phone, but something that you're actually getting the ideas out of your head and you're putting it in front of you.
Mm. So what are some common misconceptions about the relationship between longevity and entrepreneur success that you talk about in your book? How does this burnout factor equate into this equation, so to speak?
Yeah, of course. Well, I see the entrepreneurial journey as a roller coaster. Mm. Not everyone gets out of that dip, right?
Oh, man. Indeed.
So if you think about a roller coaster, you start at this like level plane, and then you're like, oh, I'm so excited, and it dips a little bit, and then it goes way, 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 way up, and you're like, oh my gosh, butterflies in the stomach, and then you come crashing down, and then a lot of people just end there, or they end up on the upward slope, but never quite get back to that high point. And so what I'm thinking about with entrepreneurship is this broad sense of sustainability. Have you built in mechanisms, guardrails, support systems, resources to sustain you on that journey? Mm. Did you buckle in when you got on that roller coaster, in that roller coaster cart? You know, because I think many people see the success stories of individuals when they're 10 years out, 20 years out, 15 years out, and they've never heard of the journey between zero and 365 days, or those first 3 years when it was a struggle and a challenge. So when people get in and they hit that first bump, they're like, oh my gosh, this is not for me. I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that with entrepreneurship and longevity is to know that it's a long game. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And just like you would prepare for the marathon, are you eating the right food? Mm. Are you dressing properly? I use a lot of metaphors, as you can see, and analogies. But similarly with entrepreneurship, do you have the right team? Do you have advisors and mentors? What is your cash flow plan when you are getting low on cash? You know, what if your product doesn't work? Are you okay to pivot? Are you flexible enough to take this journey? So these are questions to ask yourself to really sustain yourself in entrepreneurship.
Yeah, what I tell folks is that, you know, entrepreneurialism, it's not a montage. You know, folks want to get into that montage moment, and you don't know if that montage that you see is going to take 3 to 5 years to get you to that moment. So when folks that you've talked to finally reach that moment, or when they're on the brink of that moment, how do you keep them motivated? What do you say to them? Because they're looking at their past and they're like, all right, well, I've done this work, but the benefits haven't yielded yet, but I can almost taste it.
Okay, so I just did a live event this morning around this topic. I was talking about it. I was actually reading out of my book. And it was about don't be reality's fool. That was it. Where our current circumstances and our past choices don't define our future success.
Oh.
And to just recognize it as that, like these experiences happened to me for a reason. And I'm very much about the abundant mindset and perspective. So if you see when you fell down and you scraped your knee that it taught you maybe to pick your feet up when you walk so you don't fall down again. It's a teaching moment. It's a learning lesson. Even if people laughed at you, guess what? It's not going to happen again because you learned from that. And so if we see our past experiences that way and we embrace it as moments of growth and learning, then it's not going to stop us and create those moments of fear, which often hold entrepreneurs back. And so I say also, when you see your current circumstance, oh, I only have $10 in my account. Oh, that client that I thought was going to close just said no. And you see the circumstance, and sometimes that fools you to think that, oh, well, this is it for you. Jump ship. And I say, get past that moment. Keep the end in mind. And so you end up charging that target like a bull charges the red blanket.
Oh, I love that. So what motivated you to write this book, Unleash Your Supernova?
You know, okay, it goes back to my background in clinical psychology, but it also goes to some advice a friend gave me. I always was on a path of helping others. I wanted to find ways and tools to convince individuals to be their happiest self, to go after their dreams, accomplish their dreams. And that was from a young age. And so that led me down a path of medicine. I ended up in a PhD program studying clinical psychology, and I had a divine download that I was going to help people through my love of fashion, which is like, where did that come from? In the middle of Connecticut, surrounded by cows. I was born in Jamaica, so first generation to go to college, let alone grad school here. Mm. And, oh, I want to help people through fashion? Like, what? So anyway, that's why I called it a divine download. And that eventually led me to where we are now. And I'm a storyteller at heart. I'm an artist. And one day I was helping a friend through one of my many stories. And he said, do you know you can help so many more people if you write a book? Mm-hmm. And I had no desire to write a book before. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I could help many people? Like, it just seemed like, duh.
That light bulb.
But it was just like, oh, okay. So let me take this journey that I have no idea where to start or begin. And It definitely took time and perseverance. It was about a 2-year journey. Mm. So glad that I took that chance. But it was both my desire to help people and that little nudge that we often get from a friend or sometimes even a stranger.
Mm. So from medicine to the metaverse.
Yes. oh, I like that.
So how did you get involved with AI, artificial intelligence, and the metaverse? Can you tell us about that transition?
Yeah. So as I was sharing, this journey of medicine led me to fashion. Okay, don't connect the dots. and fashion led me to launching Rain Magazine, which covers the future of fashion, culture, and technology. Mm. So it's been over 15 years of producing content for Rain Magazine. And that element of futurism has always been in me. So I've always been looking forward. What's coming? What's next? How can we learn from the past to create the best present moment experience? And in 2013, I was introduced to Bitcoin, which is a use case for cryptocurrency, well, for blockchain technology, which is cryptocurrency. And that's when that journey began, completely immersing myself in emerging technology in around 2020. And I haven't looked back. And I think that one of the things that really motivated me there was I saw technology as being a great equalizer. Mm. And of course, being someone that is typically the only one that looks like me in a room, it was something that was very empowering. Mm. And as a creative and artist, it's a challenging journey to balance creativity and entrepreneurship. And you had asked the question, why did I write the book? Part of it was from my own journey as a creative entrepreneur. Mm. And knowing if I could do it, anyone can do it. And maybe you just need that additional insight and how to do it. And so Web3 AI really emerged from those early writings as I did that article about Bitcoin many moons ago, seeing the opportunity, seeing that the train was at the station, that we are going through this seismic shift in our culture and moving into this very digital age.
Yeah.
And how can I learn? How can I build with this technology? How can I create more access about this knowledge through what I'm doing? And then that turned into speaking and writing and podcasting and blogging about emerging technology, but through the lens of a fashion designer, an artist, a creator, and an entrepreneur, as a woman, as a woman of color. So bringing this unique perspective to show individuals that this is for everyone.
Yeah.
And we all need to have a voice as we shape and create and build this new city that's in front of us.
Mm. I tell folks that want to get into the creative entrepreneurialism lane, like, it's a tango. It is a tango. And if you don't like the dance, it's going to be hard to
make sure
do.
You have the right shoes.
Right. So as a recipient of the Metaverse Champion Award, what insights do you offer regarding this intersection of fashion and the metaverse?
Yeah, I love that question. And I'm going to bring AI into that a little bit. As a designer, I use AI right now to do a lot of conceptualization and ideation and being able to share ideas quickly to my community to see what are they vibing with, what do they love, and where can I push these initial concepts? How can I expand on it? And I think the metaverse is an example of that. It shows us what's possible. It's something we can't touch, but we can experience. Mm. And I believe that our future holds a more immersive world where we will be engaging in this mixed reality where we're going to, you know, wake up in the morning, push a couple buttons, holograms are going to pop up and they're going to guide us, direct us, you know, they're going to inspire us. We're going to be able to, with hardware, may it be your Apple Vision Pro or your Meta Quest, whatever hardware of your choice, be able to walk into a store and shop virtually, be able to visit places like the Great Pyramids and experience environments that we may not have had the resources to do before. It will allow us to connect with other people around the world, maybe bring back the pen pal concept but in a new way. It's going to allow us to invent and engineer and sculpt and design in more immersive ways where before maybe it was the materials or where we lived that held us back from being able to do those things. And so I really see it as a way, especially for our younger generations, to participate in industries that they may not have had the ability to do before.
I love that. Now, before we get too far ahead of ourselves, don't want to leave us, some of the listeners, behind. What is the metaverse? We're talking about this, and we didn't exactly say what it is.
That's the million-dollar question. it is, because everyone has their own little take on it. But see it as a three-dimensional environment that you can move about in. In the form of a digital version of yourself or an alter ego. Maybe you're a pink kangaroo. but you're able to either shop or learn or, you know, be entertained or entertain in this virtual environment. And I see a lot of our day-to-day life in terms of how we do things now initially coming into more of an immersive and a combination of digital and physical. And then there's going to be those digital only experiences that we can choose to have as well.
So then this is becoming more of a reality, and we're going to be incorporating this more and more in our everyday lives then?
Yeah, of course. I see, of course, your retailers and corporations adopting it, which is going to force employees and consumers to adopt it. But then the gaming space and fashion space and film and television space are going to also take advantage of this new medium of entertainment. And so it's just, again, creating something that's more immersive, not just two-dimensional, but bringing in this other element where it feels more real, that you're there. You're feeling the wind, even though you're sitting in your living room. And that's what's going to come about.
Nova, I feel like we just scratched the surface of all this artificial intelligence. Maybe not even scratched the surface. We just kind of just blew the dust off, you know, before really getting into it. I definitely have to have you come back so that we can discuss more metaverse and more artificial and intelligence, because I know there's people out there like, is this thing going to take my job?
Hot topic.
Yes, there is more to discuss. Thank you for coming on The Spark today.
Oh, it was so much fun. Thank you for having me.